Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Maureen B. from San Diego.
My name's Maureen, and I'm an alcoholic. People have been asking me all night, aren't you cold? Aren't you cold? My answer to them was, I've been sweating bullets for 5 weeks. This is not the most pleasant thing for me to do up here. I 3 years ago, it would have taken a lot of vodka to get me up here. Not tonight. I don't need it anymore. I don't want it anymore. I'm a product of the 60s and 70s. And what I remember, I had a friggin' good time. It was awesome. I am a native San Diegan. I have 5 brothers and 2 younger sisters. And I don't know if my parents were alcoholics. They probably were, but that's not my call. When I was younger, they would drink beer, and I was this small. And when they left the table, the beer was mine. I just loved beer. I thought it was just the best. Then they switched to martinis. And, I figured if they were drinking it, it was still good. So I tried their martinis. And I was sick. I mean, I didn't like it at all. And looking back, they probably should have been arrested for child abuse. I don't think they should have switched on me like that. And to this day, or throughout all my drinking career, I never touched another martini in my life. I was the fifth kid out of, after 5 boys. So I was a tomboy from the get-go. I could outrun, out-kick, out-catch, and outpass a football better than guys my age. So right off the bat, I was one of the guys, and I loved it. My drinking, I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic girls' school, and I was so shy that I thought I'd take speech, drama, and debate to get out of my shyness. And I soon found that the only thing that worked was alcohol. And I loved it. I mean, it worked for me all the time. I came out of my shell. I had a personality. And early on in my teens, I learned that I was a good blackout drinker. Usually, you hear these horror stories about people saying, you know what you did in that blackout? Well, I got compliments. You know, people, I did. People would say, you were so much fun last night. You ought to do that all the time. And that's all I needed. I was a blackout drinker from then on. I was always one of the guys. The guys after work would say, Maureen, we're going to the bar. You know, don't tell the other ladies. And it was just me because I could talk like them. I could drink like them. And that's what I did. There was one gentleman that I had worked with in my industry. He was known as, don't ever go out drinking with so-and-so because you'll get sick the next day. And if you do go out, don't try to keep up with them. And these were men telling me this. I like a good challenge. And that was the first thing I did. Hey, so-and-so, let's go. And we drank and drank all night, and I kept up with them. And, you know, that was my claim to fame for many years. And I did it a lot of times. Then my blackout drinking was continuing, and I always had people to take care of me. Well, after a while, they got tired of babysitting me, but I still wanted to party. So I was driving myself, and I got a 502, which is drunk driving. And I got through it. You know, they sent me to some AA meetings. So what? I didn't want what you had, and I wasn't going to listen. Get my court slip signed, and that was it. A year later, get another one. Well, another pain in the ass. So, excuse me, I wasn't going to do that. So then I thought I'd get smart. I thought I was going to outdo the cops on this because I was still going to drink and I was still going to drive. I got involved in some outside issue, substance. And I decided I could drink as much as I wanted and do some of this outside issue, and I could be even. You know, I thought, what a novel idea. So I did that for about a year, and it worked for about a year. And then I got so even, I got busted for that. So, and I was probably, that was probably about 20 years ago. I've been doing this for 35 years. And about 20 years ago, that just turned me into isolation. You know, I isolated from day one. Didn't want to go to meat eating. And, you know, I honestly think, I look back at it, and I don't know if I really thought I had a problem with alcohol. I think what I thought was my decision-making process was really screwed up. It really had nothing to do with the alcohol. It was me drinking and driving. You know, that decision to drive was stupid, not the the drinking at all. So I had a job that I worked at for 18 years, and I ran the office. And I can't tell you what an ideal job it was. I ran the office. I was in charge of the bar. Can you believe that? Before I showed a new employee where the pencils were, I found out what you drank. And that liquor was on my shopping list. And not every Friday, but most Fridays, that bar was open at noon. And that's one thing in my job that I didn't want to abuse. You could take all the other authority away from me, but you're not going to take that away from me. So I didn't abuse that, and I did it for many years. And after 18 years, they finally asked me to leave. Why they kept me that long, I'll never know. They started out saying, take 30 days off, go to a meeting. You know, get better. So what I did, I took 30 days off, and then first week I decided to go to a women's meeting out in La Mesa. And, you know, I was so scared. And I'd been in meetings before, but this time I was just scared. And I walked in, and, God, you women were just wonderful. You were awesome. You showed me all this love, and you hugged me. And I get in my car afterwards, and I'm so friggin' proud of myself. First thing I do is buy the biggest bottle of vodka I can, and I celebrate it. You know, that's nuts. That's nuts. Well, I managed to stay sober for 3 years. My sister passed away, and after the coroner took her body away, I stopped off at the store, and that was the beginning. Back in probably 2000, I started again, and it got worse and worse and worse, and my husband just didn't know what to do with me anymore. I had a drawer in my nightstand, and it was just a perfect drawer. You know, I could open it up and put a small little glass in there, and my husband would never know I was drinking. I hid all my booze in the bathtub, in the spare bathtub. And, you know, he'd do little hints. He would, I'd look in my drawer, and the glass is gone. Well, he'd wash my glass out for me. I thought, oh, how nice. And so then he couldn't do any more, so he threw the glass out. Well, you know, I can get another glass. So I didn't want him to know I took a glass out of the cupboard. I went to the store and bought a glass. And it was fatter, and it fit better in the drawer. So I liked it even better. And then I was working at a new job at this point, and I had three grocery stores around me, and I would tell myself when I left the work in the morning, I'm not going to stop at that store. And, I mean, I literally had to drive a half a block, and I was in that parking lot. And that's how long that thought went with me. And finally it got to the point where I couldn't get out of bed anymore. I was drinking morning, noon, and night. And I had stored up so much booze. I had, you know, six or seven of those big vodka bottles. And I was drinking 724. And I drank all six, seven of those in 10 days. And my husband still didn't know what to do with me. So this time he hides the ice cube trays. And I thought, who needs ice? So that afternoon, so what happened on my day before, 2 days before my sobriety date, I woke up with my head in the oven. I was in a blackout. And now I've been thinking suicide thoughts for many years, and I thought it was normal. But here I was in a blackout, and I woke up, and my head was in the oven. And I don't think lightly of suicide, but I forgot to turn the pilot light off. And what woke me up was I was getting hot. And So instead of gassing myself, I was baking. So that scared me. And in the meantime, that last day, too, I couldn't even swallow anymore. I couldn't swallow the booze. I had to literally hold my nose to get it down. So I had been out of vodka when I woke up with my head in the oven. And my husband had wine around, so I tried to drink it, and I couldn't even get drunk anymore. Couldn't even do it. And a miracle, my boss called me at 2 o'clock that afternoon and said, "Maureen, I'm worried about you." And he showed me a lot of love. And so I called and made an appointment with a psychiatrist that runs a rehab, and I was there the next day. And for 30 days, you know, I didn't know where I was, what I was doing. And finally, after 30 days, I came in here, and I was on my own, I felt. And I went to a meeting, and, you know, when I got here, I didn't want to be an alcoholic, and I certainly didn't want to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, I was just getting started. Anyway, lastly, I do want to say one thing about my life today. I've been married to a man for 24 years. We've been together for 30. He drinks. He drinks every night of the week. I have my garage stuffed with booze, and I have now it's moved into my dining room. I don't drink today, and the difference between his drinking and my drinking is he had a stroke 12 years ago. He falls down drunk on the weekends, and I come home to blood, and I come home to a lot of it. I just want to let you people know it can be done. This program has saved my life, and I swear by it. And, you know, if it wasn't for you people, my higher power, you know, my prayers have gone from God, let's make a deal, to God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank all of you wonderful people. And I'm sorry I took too long. I didn't think I would.